Hey, this is Brian from Geek Pop. You can listen to us on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, on our website, geekpoppodcast.wordpress.com. You can also catch us streaming live on Twitch at geek_pop. And if you miss a stream, you can catch our past streams on YouTube at Geek Pop Podcast. Don't forget to like and share us on Facebook. Popping your geek every week.
Did you guys hear that Riverdance? No, Skydance. Skydance Entertainment has hired. They made an animation studio last year.
Okay.
And they've hired a head of their animation studio.
Who is it? I did read about that.
John Lasseter is already fucking working again. Is this okay? I feel like this is like he's went through maybe a year of suffrage. Not even suffrage. Let me take that back because he was he is not the victim. He went through a year of exile, quote unquote, because I don't even feel like it was that.
Well, he was put on leave,
sabbatical,
by Disney, and then
paid.
Initially that was just a statement that he was just like he was on a temporary sabbatical. But then they clearly didn't want him back. They didn't want him back, which I think was a huge relief to a lot of the Disney employees.
Yes. Sure. Because apparently it's been, obviously we've talked about this before, he's had allegations against him that were obviously some kind of found because Disney's like, yeah, we can't abide by this. This guy's got to go. Rightfully so. It does put a taint on all our beloved, some of the arguably the best Pixar movies ever. He's working again, though. And it's not that he's not talented, and it's not like you don't want to see this guy's stuff, but like, I don't know if I'm okay with this.
Yeah, I had a mixed bag of feelings when I saw that news story, too. I was like, because Skydance, right?
Skydance
is not. I mean, they're not a small company. They're a major.
No, Lisa pointed out today, like they did Genesis. I don't know why this is the first one I pulled, but they did like Genesis. They do
a lot of action.
They
films.
Do movies. The IMF sci-fi films.
Yeah.
So it's like they start. Like I said, they started the animation studio. They don't even have anything coming out till I think 2021. But it's like, this guy's, he's clearly knows what he's doing, but it just feels kind
of
wrong.
In their defense, for what it's worth, because I couldn't help but immediately think of Millennium Films hiring Bryan Singer.
Uh-huh.
Whereas, like, and obviously, look, I'm not equating the two. Like, I'm not saying that they're exactly the same in terms of what they did.
I get it.
At the same time, as opposed to Millennium, who seemed to just be like, look, we just want hire Bryan Singer for our Red Sonja project. We think he'd be great, without really any statement about acknowledging all the allegations against him.
Yeah.
Skydance put out a statement saying we are aware of all the allegations against him, and we believe that he's made, or I don't want to put words in their mouth, but something along the lines of like he's made the right motions to understand that the problems that he made.
They said we understand we didn't come this decision lightly.
Yeah, they specifically mentioned giving him a second chance. Well, that's the bottom line too. He's a big name.
It's the bottom line.
They see him as a way.
It's not
to
even.
Rise
the, it's not the name. I don't. Look, at this point, his name is tarnished. So it's not the name so much that they're going to get anymore. But he's clearly talented. Right down to all the trickle down movies, he had a fingerprint.
As much of a scumbag as he is,
Tinkerbell movies, which were like, you guys will probably never watch them, but they're these straight to video ones. They're good, and the reason is because this motherfucker was like, this is the direction we're going to take here, guys. Like, he was a navigator on some of the stuff.
Yeah, I think a lot of the credit for the Disney Renaissance and putting the company back on the map goes right to him. Yeah. Absolutely, but he is still a scumbag.
Yeah.
So
he harassed and I don't even know if they've actually said exactly everything he's done, but
they didn't.
Well, but still, there were so many women in the company who came forward and said
uncomfortable,
and they all knew this about him. Like, he clearly. Yeah.
I just don't know how this is the way to go.
Oh, it's how it happens for all men that have this happen to them. They disappear for a little bit, and then they get to have their comeback.
Yeah, tell that to Harvey Weinstein.
He's still trying to, from what I understand, he's trying to have a comeback.
Tell that to Harvey Weinstein, by the way. Welcome to Geek Pop, I'm Big Chris.
Lisa.
Brian.
He will never have a comeback. That man is toast.
Oh, Weinstein will be.
Because I've heard rumors of him and Matt Lauer both trying to have a comeback.
Yeah, Matt Lauer's trying pretty hard, but Weinstein is the poster boy for this.
Well,
he's never.
We're going to be in something of an age. Especially in the fallout.
As a woman, I don't trust it. I trust he will have a comeback. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. but
it's not to say people can't learn and grow, but
well, people have to learn and grow from it. So you're not, so basically you're saying that this person can never have anything else after that. And I feel that that is the incorrect way to go about this.
Sure, but I don't think that's necessarily the sentiment exactly. Because I definitely know what you mean. Because mm-hmm. And there's definitely plenty of people who are like, I mean, look at like Louis C.K. is trying to make a comeback, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we should let him. But obviously, some people don't believe that same way. But at the same
time, it's
like, yeah, but it's also it's a little bit of a, you know, a mixed bag. Because on one hand, yeah, I would like to think, especially if he truly is remorseful, that John Lasseter should have something of a chance to get back on his feet. But mm-hmm. Skydance is a major company.
Yeah, it's but like, they have to have it written in his contract. Like, the first whiff of anything that happened Giddy. Prior is he's done so.
Yeah.
I would hope. I could be completely wrong in this.
I sure hope so.
They could just be like, no, it's cool, bud. You're good.
Absolutely. You know? For the sake of their employees, I really mm-hmm. hope the company is taking this very, very, very seriously.
I don't
know.
Obviously, so some places don't take it seriously. Others, Bryan Singer, that's a good example.
Yeah.
Although they did scrub him completely from,
Yeah, it was interesting.
No one has mentioned his name with Bohemian.
Yeah, Bohemian's winning all these awards, and you know, obviously nobody wants to mention him, but he's apparently off on Twitter trying to go like, hey, guys, look, it's my movie.
Well, it's some of your
really.
Movie.
It's only a little bit, really. But
yeah, but it to me, it feels too soon.
I agree.
Although there's not really sort of a path.
There's nothing we can do about it.
Forged with this already to be like, in 5 years, you can come back.
Here's
you know?
The thing.
It's just, I think when you come back, you have to acknowledge you were an asshole, that this happened. And that you are, you know, sorry for it, and you're trying to move forward, and not be the same dickbag you were.
Well, he
in the first
did
place.
That already, but it's like.
But even you can do
you
do
can't
that
do it twice,
when you go,
right?
When you well, I mean, well, you get the apology and all that when it happens,
right?
Yeah.
But there should be an acknowledgement of it again when you come back.
Yeah, and nor do I think that one apology makes it okay. Like
yeah.
you have like really
apology.
Frankly, they should be apologizing for the rest of their lives.
Like there's no like I don't know. Two apologies,
yeah.
One apology.
It needs to be acknowledged on your comeback that yeah, that's right. Remember this dark thing that happened? I'm trying to move beyond that and forward and not sort of fall back
here's
on
I kind of feel
you. Here's the
it.
Thing about this. By 2021, we're not going to even be like, oh, yeah, he did that. What's his movie called? And then that's going to be what the country does.
Yeah.
I hope not.
That's why I
think I see
in
what
all
you mean,
probability, that's what's going to happen.
That's why I say, like, as a woman, like, I know he's going to be fine. He's going to do okay and whatever. Like, I don't think he should. And it's one of those things. It's
tough.
It's a weird, hard road because it's like, I don't want this man not to have a career.
Well, no, he did fucking Toy
Story.
Not
even just man, sure. This person. I just don't want this person to not have a career because of mistakes they've made if they are really trying to move forward and not do the same thing
again.
And
especially if, I mean, obviously, you know, we're lumping in a lot of people together, but like there are people who very, you know, unequivocally did criminal things.
Yeah.
And that's a different territory, you know, where it's like, look, well, like Harvey Weinstein shouldn't work anymore, ever.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, knowing what we do know about what John Lasseter and his accusations, it seems like the kind of thing that maybe, yeah, like somebody could turn a new leaf and, you know, but it's hard because I see what you mean. Cause like we haven't been hearing, you know, and I'm sure John Lasseter has put out official apologies in some form, but like we haven't been hearing that a lot from him. You know, we're hearing that for like when it was dropped, I think that was the announcement from Disney.
So when this happens there, everyone like power is instructed to go silent.
Yeah.
Because
sure.
Anything you say is taken.
It's going to be taken.
Worse.
Sure.
Yes.
Well,
anyway.
I mean, that's a fair point. But
anyway.
It's like, but Skydance doesn't speak for John Lasseter, is all I'm
no,
saying.
No, they spoke for him.
Yeah.
This is a weird segue to go to the next topic.
What are you talking about?
Oh, man, that's harsh. That's not fair. Oh, wait, it's him.
It goes right in the same thing. It's fine.
He'll be fine.
Sure.
Speaking of stuff like this, Panty Party, which, boy, when I saw this,
yeah.
I'm like, what is this? And then I read the article. I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is the most Japanese game I've seen in a while.
Well,
because it is literally.
To be fair, that's not. I mean, I'm just saying. I feel like you can't just say it's strictly Japanese. There's plenty of Japanese people who probably think this is ridiculous.
No, no, no. So And maybe it's because I'm not gonna say you're not a real gamer, but I literally said I'm not saying that.
I'm simply saying. I watched him play Spider-Man. Yes.
I'm sure of that.
The DLC is so damn good. I'm just simply saying there are friends of mine of Japanese descent who probably don't want anything to be associated with games like this.
That's fine, but Japan is notorious for turning out games that are ridiculous. Sure. I think the most notable has always been for me Katamari Damashi, which is a game where you push stuff in a ball. Mm-hmm. So awesome. Having said this, the Japanese are wildly known for having out there games. There's a game, I think I've said this before too, where you play a fucking mosquito and you're trying to suck blood from a family. Chibi Robo, which is just a little cleaning robot.
That's awesome.
I've
never heard about that.
They have games where they're just like very unusual, and this is just in the vein of that. It's a fighting game in the third person, but you are literally a pair of panties.
Did you see the trailer?
People in the panties. It's just the panties fighting.
Well, you know why,
not
right?
Just a fighting game too. It's a mech style fighting game.
Yes.
Well, the panties have like weapons. They have like lasers and whistles.
Well, because people are being turned into panties.
Yes.
Yeah. Which. It's hilarious.
Yeah. I think it's great either way.
Well, I mean, at first, like Chris tends to throw those things in here where it's like, it's like, is this just ridiculous or is this actually kind of cool? Most of the time, they end up skewing to cool.
Because
this is one of those things.
I think it's both, man.
At first, I was like, "What the fuck?" And then as the more I read, I was like,
"But you read it's like,
oh,
what?
This is like, I kind of want to play this.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah."
It's well, especially this particular game too. Once I saw that, like I kind of, to be honest, when I first saw the story, I kind of rolled my eyes a little bit. At it.
I did too.
And then I watched the trailer. The trailer starts right off I'm not sure exactly on the verbatim, but it says some title screen saying like,
"There's
this is not a hentai game. There's no hentai in here. This is just a bunch of like it says something like it's just stupid panties fighting each other or something. Like I read that as a bit of a send up of those types of DOA beach volleyball type of games.
Sure.
Where it's like, look, you guys aren't playing this because it's a fighting game. You're just trying to look at look up girls' skirts and stuff like that. So fuck it. This game, you're literally panties.
Yeah.
There's nothing sexual about it. You're just
panties. Because there was another game a while ago.
Most of them weren't even sexy.
Like to kill the vampires, you had to knock their clothes off.
Yes, I think I have that one.
That one is
yeah, I do have that
ridiculous.
One. That's Akihabara.
Yeah.
To kill the vampires.
So that's it's another goofy like Japanese game where you're in the Akihabara district.
Yeah.
And they've been invaded by like vampires, and the only way for you to defeat them is to knock their clothes off so the sunlight can hit them.
Knock their clothes off.
Like, yes.
It's a fighting game. It's a fighting game. So
punch their clothes.
If I'm not mistaken, I think you have, like there's a point where like they you punch them a couple times and you hit the B button because they're dazed or something and you pull a top off or something like that. And I think it's men and women. So
I thought it was both.
Where is this spinoff of Walking Dead? When is this starting?
It's a really fun game. I got it when it came or eventually when it came out and I was just like, this is so weird and it's fun. It's a button smasher. I don't know with the silly twist, with a sexy twist. Who doesn't enjoy that? I don't know.
But I also feel like this game is a little bit of a little bit of a parody of this kind of game.
Suspiciously quiet.
Wait, what? What are you trying to say?
I think the market is obviously like there's a market for this. Like the DOA games, which obviously people want to play volleyball and take pictures of them. It's something I feel like there's the market for. I don't know.
I mean,
but
sure,
this
but
is not that. This is literally panties. Yes.
That's why I
guns.
Feel like this is not only in line with them. This is I think a little bit of a poking fun at
yes.
them. Yeah,
yes. Yes. And it looks fun. It looks kind of fun.
Yeah.
I don't know if it what was it, $30?
I didn't see the
price. It's called Panty Party. If
about
the link.
Right
yeah.
Those.
I haven't even bought Reroll. I keep wanting to buy it, but I'm like, I want a hard copy version of this.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then the warning, it says on screen, warning, no hentai contest in this game. All you get is funny and stupid panties.
Yeah. There's not, like I said, there's not even sexy panties. It's just like full brief. There's
people
one with like
them.
A teddy bear in them.
Oh, so like panties actual people wear.
No.
No.
Some of them are. Like, did you see some?
No.
Like, some of them have, like, literally, like, the head of a teddy bear.
Yeah, there's
back.
A teddy bear attached to one.
Like, it's like, these are not panty. Like, some of them, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, Panty Party. This is the other kicker, by the way. For the Switch only.
What?
Yeah, it's for the Switch.
Huh.
Fuck, I feel like I have to buy this game now.
It's funny. Fucking for the Switch, I'm like, what? Nintendo is letting a Chony game on their
but
system?
But it's just
why not?
Fighting Chony.
And it's
exactly.
exclusive.
Exactly.
Is it exclusive?
Well, you said switch only.
Well, it says it's a switch only, but I don't know if like it's gonna stay like that. Like I feel like this
maybe initially.
Yeah.
Well, I mean that's what an exclusive is.
When it happens to the Switch, that's yeah.
Well, I mean, like that Sega game came out for the PlayStation first, and it was never like exclusively on the PlayStation.
Yeah, but then they lose the exclusivity. Then it.
But they never had exclusivity. It just released PlayStation, and then eventually on the Switch.
I see. Well, it might just be
like a year later. But that might have been anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
Panty
I feel
party.
Like you're fighting the same point.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, this is a Kosen is the indie studio. Do you know if they have done other stuff for Switch or?
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with
Switch
stuff.
I didn't look into
this. Either way,
studio.
I mean, if they make it for Switch, I mean, I'm sure that.
Okay, Brian. Your mission is to purchase this game. Let us know how it is. Since you're
panty
the
party.
You're the biggest gamer.
I mean,
the
as
table.
Much. Oh, yeah, that's right. Because I play two games. Spider-Man and Battlefront 2.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay. Well, we actually got some Overwatch news, some actual Overwatch story news.
Yay!
They released a short story about the events that after Anna and Soldier found each other out to be still alive. And they got reminisce in like a couple things, like, for example, about Reyes' family. And what Anna had to do, which we already knew about ahead of time, you know, leave a family, not see him and all that stuff. And one subtle thing that they put in was
very subtle.
Very subtle was that they revealed that Soldier was actually going to be was supposed to get married, but he didn't get married because he was committed to trying to end the wars.
He's married to the
time.
War.
Yes.
Well, essentially, yeah.
To his job.
His job, yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of characters
and,
do that.
And the person who he happened to be getting married to was a man.
Hey.
Aww.
I think that's really cool.
Cool. Mm-hmm. That makes the second LGBTQ character, right?
Yes.
For Overwatch. Because Tracer's...
Tracer is was revealed the first openly gay character.
Yeah.
I thought... Like, this is really cool. Some people on the comments that I think on our the Facebook, like, why does this even matter? We've covered this so many times.
Matters.
I can't devolve. We can't devolve this again, but
yeah.
representation matters.
Absolutely, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like saying, like, so what if they're Mexican or something like that? So what if they're gay? Well, it matters because you need to see yourself. You don't need to, but it's nice to see yourself represented as a character.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's kind of interesting with Overwatch because those are, I think, the two most notable characters that they use in marketing for Overwatch.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Tracer and Soldier.
Soldier
is the leader, basically, of the good guy, of Overwatch.
Yeah.
He is like, you know, he's the badass soldier.
Well, former leader. Now it's Winston.
Former leader, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
Winston's the gorilla, right?
He called everyone back. I don't know if he's is he been.
That's a very leadership.
I mean, he reinitiated Overwatch, but I wouldn't call him the leader. I'd still say Soldier is.
He's being marked as the leader right now.
Is he?
Yes. Right now, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because but Soldier's not in Overwatch right now. He's not. He's
well, there is no Overwatch. He just recall everyone. So
this is
like,
no, but he's not answering the call.
So this is something they've revealed.
At least not. They didn't show it story wise. Him answering the call.
Okay, so this is something they revealed in new ongoing canon stories. I guess.
Yes,
like he's on the run or something.
They released
a short story.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the short story, he's basically kind of trying to take out the enemies that actually caused the Overwatch fall or whatnot.
Okay.
Secretly.
Okay, and I for what it's worth, I also kind of like that. You know, it's not just done in a typical way, like, oh, here, you know, here's my romantic relationship that but no, it's just like, because he's it sounds like from that description he's a solitary guy. He hasn't been in a relationship probably for however many odd years. This is just his long lost, you know, love who got away, but it's okay to point out
the sacrifice he made.
So that's cool.
And it's weird because I've been seeing a lot of stuff online about this where people are upset that they didn't feel they did enough to have soldiers coming out, which I kind of understand. Like, they were like, oh, it was just like this little aside sort of thing. And I was like, but that's how this would happen with anyone.
I mean, that's also why
I think this is showing that we're more accepting of people of different genders and sexualities, that we're treating them like we would treat a straight person.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
this wasn't like, oh my God, you're gay. This is like, hey man, how'd that person you used to love go?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's part of what works about this reveal, that it's not like, you know, oh, by the way, this whole time I've had this, you know, I've been married to this guy. It's like, no, no, no. It's just like, it's not even a part of his character having relationships, emotional relationships in that way. This is just an extra little layer to him that you find out that, oh, you know, his long lost love was a man. You know,
I wouldn't necessarily categorize it as long lost love because they,
or at least, the one who got away, or
because from what I read of an excerpt, he doesn't see it that way.
Sure,
I love the job. I knew I couldn't have both. Yeah. This person knew that too. They moved on, got married, did other things, and I did my thing. Because even Anna asks at one point, she's like, "Well, you know, you could have had like Reyes stalk him," and he was like, "No, that's not what this was." Yeah.
Well, I can see
that's not what I wanted.
Yeah. I think this is really tastefully done. I can see on some level why a lot of people might be a little more sensitive to be like, you know, look, just come out with it a little bit more than just like hide it in a comic or something, mm-hmm. or at least in what people's eyes are like hiding in a comic, because
I know that happened with Tracer too. Hers was in a comic, but hers was a little more overt.
Yeah, and
this.
But there's a lot of
retouched on it a couple times.
Oh,
like
okay.
In like
the that.
Christmas special, you see her, the gift.
Yeah.
But especially with this day and age of how, like, I know there's a lot of people who throw shade at J.K. Rowling, for example, who,
right?
Like, you know, who has a long controversy.
Why wasn't he more gay?
Right. Well, I mean, but she also has a long history of a controversial history with the fandom of like retconning things and establishing things after the fact, but not really putting it in the text. You know, and obviously there was an opportunity to explore. To really make it open that Dumbledore is gay and had that emotional attachment to Grindelwald, and apparently the movie didn't even touch on that. So it's like,
I didn't see the movie. Did you?
No.
I didn't, but
I don't see.
Well,
that.
I didn't see Grindelwald, so I can't really say. But I do know that there's a lot of people who are annoyed with J.K. Rowling for constantly saying,
Dumbledore's
gay,
story?
But never quite putting it out there.
Is it a Dumbledore? You know, it was a Harry Potter movie before, so there's no place there. I don't know if there's a place now.
Oh, maybe not.
Because he's in it.
They're building.
That's my argument. That's always been my argument. Like,
sure.
I get that. I feel like with the Crimes of Grindelwald, it wasn't quite the place for it, but it kind of, I feel, starts it.
Well, that's, I don't know. I think that's fine.
Because I think I'm the only one that saw it.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Well, still, as opposed to Overwatch, where like, it's not as apparent, you know, the character's sexualities, for example, in the game. And
I mean, you don't have soldiers like, I want to see that dick, or I don't know.
But like, whereas
that's totally what
I always scream, I want to see that pussy all the time when I play games.
You're right.
Yeah.
Well, the only reason I bring up the whole Grindelwald controversy is just because like there is some merit to what a lot of fans are saying about when they say like a company is not doing enough because there is something of a sentiment of like a lot of companies are just like, oh yeah, so and so is gay, and it's just that's
it.
Got to accept it, but we're not going to make it apparent in anything other than say so I can see why there's some sensitivity to that. It's like, Blizzard, come on, come out with a little bit more than that. But I don't know, I think at least from what I read about how they revealed it with Soldier 76, I think that's great. Just, you know, it's just a layer to his character, and it's not,
it was just a wistful, I don't even want to say wistful, but it was just like he was looking through pictures and there was one. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Which
anyway,
I guess that photo was already in like a Tracer comic earlier or something. Like, there was hints of that before.
No, I don't think so. This was in the short story.
I don't know.
Anyway,
So it's totally new then.
Let's move on.
Oh, that's me. Sorry, I'm like all over the place. So we got a new Captain Marvel trailer. Woo!
Yeah. This was a little bit short one too. It's only like a minute and a half. But
and yet,
it's like our third one.
I feel like it was way better than the first one.
It showed a lot more. So
it showed things, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think also because this one didn't feel like it was only going to show, you know, it doesn't spend a lot of time setting it up. I feel like this trailer is for people who've already seen the last couple. So they're just showing a little bit more of the.
I think it's more exciting.
I think it was better than the other ones, but I'm still not as sold as I want to be on this film.
I love the Skrull's transformation. It looks like it's painful.
Yeah, that's the first time we've actually seen it transform. Yeah, because obviously, you know, because plenty of people.
I don't know. Is it supposed to be?
I asked the question. Like, I know the answer.
Yeah. Not that I know of. I thought I saw him on S.H.I.E.L.D., but I could be wrong.
Yeah. Oh, they actually appear on S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Kree or
Skrull?
Skrulls. One of them did. Maybe it was Kree.
I thought it was a Kree.
Could be, it was like season two or season one.
Okay.
But did they transform on there? That's what
I feel like. One of them, I feel like I saw a transformation of something, but this has been like years ago now, so I don't really recall. That's why I'm questioning. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, we get a little bit more of her and Nick. You know, them kind of in that diner scene was kind of fun. Where
Coulson with the big ass head of hair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which like, okay, it sounds like more and more this whole movie is going to have a great deal of de-aging. Because it looks like young Sam Jackson
now
is
the
like
time,
a
man.
major character. And this Coulson looks like he's going to be a pretty big role. So
now is the time. When they,
sure,
what
they
was the movie
money.
That came out? One of the Marvel movies came out, and I was just blown away. Fucking blown away. Was it?
Talking about Iron Man, yeah.
No, I think it was Ant-Man.
Ant-Man?
Oh, yeah.
Was
they
made Michael Douglas
yeah.
look like he
yeah.
was in the fucking 80s. I'm like,
yeah.
Holy
yeah, and then
shit.
They did Iron Man, I think, after that. Where
which
he
was pretty
was
good, too.
A very young
yeah.
Robert Downey.
Yeah.
Oh, was
you,
that Man
you
before?
See him?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Captain America Winter Soldier was the, yeah. Not the Winter Soldier, the third one. Captain America...
Civil War.
Thank you. Yeah, that's where they made him de-age in there. But yeah, right. You're right. Ant-Man came out before that.
That's and, you know, true. Before yeah. that, I saw the Terminator. I'm just like, holy shit, that's amazing. And then I think I saw Ant-Man after that, or maybe it was vice versa. Mm-hmm. My point being is like, this is the day and age where this is possible, and we don't bat an eye going like, that looks fucking fake.
Yeah.
I could tell
because they do it really well.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
because
really
well. When they do it poorly, that's exactly what you say.
Well, those are my three major examples: two Marvel movies and a Terminator movie.
Well, the MCU
but
ones in particular,
really
all the examples of de-aging in the MCU, and they've done quite a few. They did it for
yeah,
you know,
I think Guardians was a little I was on the lower end though.
They did it for Michael Douglas. They did it for Kurt Russell. They did it for Robert Downey, and every time it's been like it's really really smooth. I mean,
good.
Yeah,
really
so.
Good. So I can't even tell. Like, in this trailer, like I don't even. I can't even tell. Like Sam Jackson looks pretty much like he did in like the late 90s.
Yeah. I swear I can't help but feel like they're gonna do that to Indiana Jones 5. There's gonna be like a whole bunch of Indiana Jones 5 set in the 40s.
I kind of hope not.
Well, I mean, but still, I mean,
I wish they'd switch it if it's not gonna be Harrison Ford. Like,
well, he's gonna
and
be,
we don't really want it
him.
To be Harrison Ford anymore. So,
but it is gonna be.
But is it?
No, that, I mean.
But. But
they're making
they
it with Harrison
doors.
Ford.
He's okay.
Oh, the Indiana where he dies? Oh.
Oh, Indy 5. Well,
did you?
The end of Indy, what was it called?
I mean, half expecting to.
No, I don't know. I hope they kill him.
I mean, that's why Harrison Ford's sticking around and all.
He
well, I don't know. He didn't
characters.
Die in Blade Runner.
He likes putting periods on his, on his roles. And as well, he should. Like, there's no reason for Indiana Jones to keep fucking doing whatever he's doing.
Nazis.
I mean, that's the only way that they could get me back, like, and be like 100% on board. It's like, oh yeah, we de-age him and he's fighting Nazis again. Fuck yes, that's where Indiana Jones is the best.
I agree.
Fighting fucking Nazis. Anyway,
well,
new Captain Marvel.
But that's the only reason why I feel like they're probably going to de-age him because Disney's
great.
Been doing a lot of it, and people want to see Indy fighting Nazis, and he's
oh,
not going to do
even
that
did
in the 70s.
Well,
actually, there are neo Nazis.
So.
That's true.
There you go.
They did well. They did it in Rogue One to not as much a fanfare, but also notoriously, Rogue One had something of a rushed production, post production too. So, and
yeah,
Rogue One also like as
that wasn't Carrie.
No,
that wasn't Carrie though.
Sure, and also like, and I think more of that gets thrown on Tarkin because Tarkin's all over that movie.
The other characters were those characters. They just digitally de-aged them, but
exactly.
That wasn't Carrie at
that
all.
Was, exactly, that's recreating people as opposed to just de-aging somebody. Because obviously when they de-age, so Sam Jackson is playing Sam Jackson in this
like
movie.
As good as Tarkin looked, like I still could see like he was a fucking computer.
Yeah, and some of that is also just because they didn't have maybe quite as much time to do that volume of work too. Because, I mean, you
maybe
guys
Ryan.
All saw Blade Runner 2049, yeah?
Yeah.
That young, de-aged Rachel,
that was
holy
cool
shit. I've never seen de-aging.
It didn't blow my mind as much because the lighting in that place was kind of poor, so I was like,
really?
Yeah.
Right.
But it still looked good. Like,
it looked,
you know.
It looked good, but that wasn't that the one that blew my mind, I think, was Michael Douglas and
Ant-Man.
So good.
Yeah.
And then Robert Downey Jr., because it's like, I know what he looked like at about that age, and holy shit.
And Kurt Russell in Guardians 2, he led.
He still looked old to me.
Kurt Russell?
Dull?
He looked old, yeah.
Maybe.
They should have fucking did his neck
really
or shrunk his face or something.
It was
still
really
only
one
it
quick
was
scene,
mix.
Though, right? Yeah,
it
so
was a mix. Yeah.
Yeah, it was one quick scene though.
It was
maybe
good.
Didn't spend as much time on it or something. But
well,
it was
the whole
know.
Opening,
I
wasn't
it? Looked great.
Yeah, but wasn't
him
it this kind of
driving in the car
and he kisses his wife and he's like, "Hey, here's a plant."
No, he
no.
was him driving in the car and then taking her down the ditch and then going like, "Oh, I planted him all over the."
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they walk around together. Yeah, I gotta watch Guardians 2 again. That was a good movie.
It's on Netflix. Well, it was.
I own it.
Or she owns it. There you go.
True. What are we talking about, Captain Marvel?
Let's move on.
I don't know. I'm sold on it. I already got my tickets, so.
I'm not.
Literally, I'm sold on it.
And also, I think, I hope they're not trying to push her to be the new Captain America, because I don't know if I'm bored yet.
Sure, but
you know,
Captain
America
is probably
going to
die.
Yes.
And get replaced by another guy named Captain America.
Whoa.
You think so? Do you think they can pull it off?
We got two alternate Captain Americas primed.
Alternate? What do you mean?
What
Sam?
If
they're
one's
not going to put
Captain
Sam
and the other's America?
No, I mean,
and
that,
then
they,
their powers combine, they make Captain
both
America.
Both Bucky and Sam yeah. have mm-hmm. take on the mantle at some point in the comics, so. Mm-hmm.
But so Cap, like but on Sam Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturday,
they trade off the suit.
Sam is Captain America.
I don't know if everyone knew
Sam
that.
Sam picks up the suit. He's like, ah, Cap, you couldn't wash
it. Bucky was, but they didn't know. They thought Bucky was still just Captain America, right? They knew, obviously, when Sam was Captain America that he took over the mantle.
You don't think Cap's going to die in part four?
I go back and forth.
Hmm. All
right. Because his contract's up, right? And they haven't really.
Yeah, the contract's up.
Yeah.
I did hear
no
announcement
of renegotiation.
But they're not going to tell us anyway.
No. I did hear the suggestion that they could just as easily write it so that Cap gets left. If they do some wibbly wobbly timey-wimey shit, that he gets stuck back in the past, gets to live out his years with Peggy, and that could either send off his character or leave him open for sequels with some more time travel or something. So.
But then they'd have to fucking time travel in another movie.
Sure, but I mean, look, the Phase 4, Phase 5, I'm sure it's going to get crazy.
Come on, dog.
I mean, look, they're bringing all the X-Men in eventually, so.
They can, they'll make
That's
it
right,
work.
And Wolverine's going to be in the next Avengers movie, so
there's
who
a
knows?
Lot of time travel.
Wait,
in
he's
the
in the new one?
In the Marvel.
Yeah, he's going to be in Endgame, right, Bri?
Wolverine?
Yeah. We should make we should have a bet here, because if he's in there, like, it'd be like the Hail Mary.
I wouldn't put it past Disney to try to do some alternate universe stuff. And I would hope that they, if they're going to bring
that's what
in
I
Hugh
thought.
Jackman,
like if they're
going
they
to
have the gauntlet and they're like, they're going to see other alternate universes, they're going to show Logan.
Because I mean, the X-Men are very directly tied to like world events and stuff like that. Like, that couldn't have all been happening
and
on
Wolverine's
the side.
Wolverine's been an Avenger, so crisis. I don't know. Okay, yeah. We got to move on though, because that was well, I mean, Captain Marvel. We didn't even talk about Captain Marvel. Go watch the trailer. It's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. It's a damn good trailer.
This is a new trailer.
Yeah.
Movie's coming out. You'll go see it. Come on.
Anyway. Something that got some traction on our site, which I wasn't even aware that people cared that much. This past holiday season, I think a little bit before, the brand Arcade 1UP, the company, released a bunch of 4-foot-tall arcade cabinets. You get Space Invaders, I think... Rampage. There was another one, but the one that I think that I was most excited for that I didn't get, Santa didn't bring it to me, was the Street Fighter one. And it had like Street Fighter 2 Street Fighter 2 Championship Edition, Street Fighter 2 Turbo, and I think Super Strike from Street Fighter? Or maybe just Turbo, I don't remember.
Okay.
But they're arcade cabinets. They're almost exactly the same as like, you know, what you get in an arcade, except they're like 4 feet tall. Which kind of sucks because,
you
know.
Wasn't that how tall they are?
4 feet tall?
Or are they? Well, I don't know. I'm trying to.
Arcade cabinets.
Yeah, I guess it's a little short.
About 6 feet tall.
I mean, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Why am I thinking? Yeah, I was thinking like 4 feet tall, just like the regular ones. But if you're
so
if it, that's
four
really
feet
short.
Tall, would be about like about right here.
So
I
you
think.
Need like a chair?
Yeah, you have to sit in a stool, or they sell extenders.
What?
Where you
does
would?
Does it come with a stool?
No, you have to. It's heavy. You have to put it together. Point being, the people really like these, and they're releasing more.
That's cool.
Yeah, there's the next big one that people. Well, there's three more. One has like Joust and a couple other ones. And there's like a, I want to say a Bally's one.
Like these will be available for arcades to buy.
No, for you at home. They're selling at fucking Walmart, dude.
No wonder they're so short then. Because who would want a 6-foot cabinet? No matter how much you love that,
I would.
Yeah.
So for $300 for $300, it is a steal to have that experience.
Sure.
But the other big one that people are like, holy shit, they're going to sell. They did Street Fighter, so that of course the next one is Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
They're doing Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3 in a cabinet. People are like, yeah, man. I mean, if you had to tell me which one of the other, you know, I would always pick Street Fighter. But still, having a Mortal Kombat machine, that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah,
and
cool.
I saw Galica one at Walmart the other day. Like they had one you could play. It's very small, but it was cool. I mean, it was really cool. The joysticks felt responsive. The buttons felt like real arcade buttons.
There's something about that tactile experience with a stand up upright arcade machine and with a joystick, and you know, especially fighting games where you got the two people just you know, shoulder to shoulder, you know, competing.
It is definitely, to me, worth the $300. I think it's $40 for the extender. So you're ended up paying almost, you know, close to $470, $380, something like that.
Just as long as you got the room for it.
takes up a lot of room. It doesn't. Yeah. It is, you know, probably the size of the chair that you're sitting in, as far as like width wise. It goes in the corner of any fucking house.
Sure.
Go to the corner of your house.
Yeah.
Or your garage. I don't know if you have a garage.
But there's only so many games.
Share it.
You share the garage?
Yeah, with everybody.
You should put it right in the middle.
Cars dominance. Can't even park. They're like, yeah, but you can fucking play Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat 3.
Except
no.
You gotta sit in a stool.
You gotta pay me corners.
You
know,
you
gotta
pay for the stool.
I mean, realistically, you'd have to have a very short stool. Like, it's very low to the ground, the 4 foot tall one. But still, for that price, I think it's well worth it. Maybe one Santa will leave one for my birthday. I don't know. But I don't have one.
Well, it could be a fun kind of like gaming cave.
I'm over here like,
you
guys can put it anywhere, but I'm like, I don't have room for that.
But put it anywhere.
But you guys can put it anywhere.
It's tiny. You can fit it fucking anywhere.
Just put it in your garage.
I'm not going to fucking take
it. I would. Anyway, arcade one up. They're sold at Walmart. I'm sure at other places. $300. Go get one now. Well, maybe the Mortal Kombat ones are not now, but you know.
Wow.
Yep.
You know what you need $300 for?
No.
Okay. Well, actually, not quite. Only $200.
If you don't have any broke from this.
So, with Star Wars Galaxy Edge set to open this summer, prices for Disneyland have spiked yet again.
Yeah. Really?
This time, though, they didn't have any fucking warning, which sucks.
Exactly. Oh, I saw a lot of people were saying that when they went to the website, they saw that little, we are under construction, undergoing maintenance, and everybody saw right away, that means a price hike.
Every time like they raise the price, like we know a week prior or a couple days, like this was like one day the next, like bam.
Oh, yeah. Like to go into the park.
They gave no warning.
They gave there was no rumbles and nothing. But I think what helped this was that what's his name let it slip that the new Galaxy's Edge is opening in June.
Yes.
And people had to have anticipated that they would do this. But you're right. There was no fanfare to this. They just suddenly saw, you couldn't go buy passes for a little while, and then suddenly there was the new system. And
even the selects, which are notoriously the cheapest ones, if you live in California. They shot up a lot,
dude. The premier, the premier or the premier plus or something, whatever they call it now, that went up $250.
It's now $1,399.
Like this, like for I haven't person. Been to like to it's Disneyland in like 10 years, and these prices still like I'm like I can't afford
almost
this.
Huh?
Like one pass is like a car payment for me. Like
I mean, even if you go
a month? Like the Disney, that's the Disney Select.
So even with so everything went up, including the single day, and the single day park hopper is now $199 plus the if you want.
Well, that's
also
on a peak day.
Yeah,
it could be down to $154.
Sure, but if you're going to go on a weekend, it's gonna be one of those. It's gonna be
nobody goes on the weekend anymore, Brian.
Yeah, I go.
Everyone goes on the weekend.
I tell you,
that's why it's the fullest.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. No one goes like if you live out here, don't go on the fucking weekend.
Well,
some of us work on Monday to Friday.
Off.
Yeah,
everyone taking a day off.
I would only go on a weekend.
Really?
Wow.
You are fucking crazy.
You're brave.
Well, sure, but I'd
rather. Yeah, I am brave, but
I would go on a weekend and say like March or something rather than because otherwise I'd have to take the day off work.
I would just take the day off for
what
work.
What the fuck's wrong with that?
Sure, but that's
a smart thing to do.
That's another thing,
and you're still gonna battle with the fucking.
Yeah, it just.
Well, that's the thing. Wow. Like, no matter how much these price hikes, these price hikes are, they're and as much as they're going to obviously alleviate crowding to some extent, I don't think it's going to really feel like it's made any dent on Galaxy's Edge. My heart goes out to the employees at either park for that first year because it's going to be insane.
Yeah, are you going to be there day one or you know?
Should have bought your pass.
That's what
last week.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like I kind of have been debating for the last couple of years whether or not I wanted to get an annual pass when this comes out. Now looking at the prices, I'm like, no, I'm gonna get a 1 day park.
So the annual, I think the price for a per month is about $80 or $90 if you get the payment plan.
Oh yeah, I wasn't looking at
sure.
That.
Which that's
but
means
still,
you kind of need to go once a month really to make it worth it.
Well,
whenever I had the pass,
that.
I would go multiple times. That's once a month.
Yeah, but you live closer. I mean, Brian and I, it's about an hour drive.
Yeah,
I'm like, you're fucking dumb, but realized compared to where I'm live and you live,
And also, if it's anything, like every time coming back from Disneyland, they're always doing major construction, so it usually took about 2 hours to get back.
Depends on the way you take. So, we're not going to talk about freeway. So,
Yeah, but it's like the even the one pass that like I would contemplate buying, which has parking included, is still over $1,000 annually. Like that's just ridiculous.
Well, but there's something to be said about how, you know, as much as like, obviously Disney's going to keep hiking up these prices, and Disney wants to alleviate the crowds because the crowds are insane, especially when they open something as huge as this. But at the same time, like I'm understanding a lot more and more the sentiment that like every year that they do this to hike up prices to alleviate crowds, but the crowd's still there. It just becomes that much more of an exclusive thing for people who can't afford it. You know, for people who can't afford it, rather. You know?
This might be an unpopular idea, but would it be smart to open maybe another park in another part of the United States?
I don't think it would take too much off of Disneyland. And the fact that they're raising the price to help alleviate crowds is bullshit. It's just busy wanting money.
Well, there's something to be said about that too.
There is
because clearly that has never worked.
Employee wages are going up too.
Well, and there's something to be said about especially when they first started rolling out the Premier passes, there was a measured increase in attendance. Because there's something to be said about like when they increase the prices, there are some annual pass users who see that as an impetus to go more often.
Yeah.
To try to make it worth it, you know. So I think that's a lot of the reason why the Premier Plus. I'm not sure if I'm using the right term, but the one that has zero blockout dates. Has such a price hike.
Yeah, the Disney Signature.
The Signature, isn't that the one that for both parks, though? And by both parks, I mean Disney World.
That's the Disney Premier Passport, which is both parks.
The
for under $2,000.
Yeah.
Which actually, it's both parks, it's all the parks. Like, to me, that's more worth it as long as you're going to Disney
World. Buy a MacBook Pro when you can go to Disneyland?
And World.
Yeah.
And all the parks there, because you have to pay separately for
each
park.
As someone who loves Disney and still enjoys the parks, this is madness. This is madness. Disneyland is becoming for the elite. And like,
I love that you say that, because I've always, not always, but I've mostly viewed it that way.
No, yeah. I mean, I viewed it when it was $100 and under.
It was attainable
before.
Yeah.
Now it doesn't.
Well,
because
that's the unfortunate thing, is that even if, you know, how it's always kind of been, at least in my kind of feeling, is that like Disneyland is just that thing that like, look, it's so much more expensive than your other parks, like say Knott's or Six Flags, but because Disney goes all out, you know. So even if you can't buy an annual pass, when you want to get your family together, you know, all the kids, you know, your kids, your cousins, whatnot, you know, then you can afford just a single day. But more and more, that single day is getting really expensive, and the more crowded it gets, the less and less likely you're going to be able to get all that you want out of like us. Even if you go on a dead day at Disneyland and get that park hopper, you're not hitting most of the rides. You
know? So there are no more dead days. I can attest to that.
Yeah, I say quote unquote dead days.
I used to know all the dates that you like were dead.
Yeah,
they're no longer dead. There's always one. If you get there first thing in the morning, it's better. But you're right. The park hopper doesn't make sense anymore.
Sure.
It's just not worth it. A family of three. It's, you know, it's over $300 just to get in the door.
Sure.
That's not including parking or food or souvenirs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
at this point, you're looking at $500 to $500.
Sure.
Fuck.
Absolutely.
For a day trip to fucking Disneyland.
Yeah.
This is not okay anymore.
You know,
and
there's no way I'm not going to buy a single day and, like, spend that in the entirety in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, but it should.
You might.
I mean, but sure, I might.
So
well, it's probably
I say
all
you
you're
might
be able to
because
do.
Sure.
A couple of years ago, my sister and them went to Tokyo Seas, which arguably is one of the coolest Disney parks. I don't know if you've ever researched it.
No,
Disney Seas. Tokyo Disney Seas is based on the Seas of the Land of the world.
Yeah.
So you know, there's an America Land, which just has like the riverways or the New York or Ellis Island or something like that.
It's very Epcot-y in that way.
Well, kind of.
Or at least like it's kind of like here's a sampling.
But it's all based on rivers and bodies of water.
So more natural kind of.
Like there's Discovery Island. They have the Nautilus there, and there's Jules Verne. Anyway, my point being, my sister was like, "Yeah, we didn't get to go on even half the rides." I'm like, "Why?" She's like, "We got there pretty much when the park opened, you know, pretty early, and it would take 6 hours, I think she said, four or six hours to get on the main e-ticket attraction there."
And yeah.
She's like, "So you're planning half your day to go on one ride." And you know, it's like,
was it just a new one or just open?
It's one of their signature.
Because I waited 5 hours for Star Tours when it reopened, but that was the day it literally the morning it opened. So that was kind
it's
of
just
expected,
very big, you know, a very like, big spot, tour spot.
Okay,
so it might not have been six, but I feel like it was. But it was for their, you know, their Jules Verne Journey to the Center of the Earth ride.
Damn!
Wow!
That sounds cool too.
Dude, if you look at Disney, or if I'm getting off a little above, Disney Seas is the number one. Like, if I was able to, like, hey, what do you want to try? I would try Disney Seas because everything looks fucking amazing there. And it's so different from anything we have.
Sure, that's a lot of the things about these different Disney parks.
Or if you're listening, I mean, press pause, go look at Disney's Tokyo Disney Seas. It's amazing. Anyway, ticket prices have gone way up. It's fucking crazy. That's all. We have to keep moving.
But they got a full size Millennium Falcon. There's no way
you're
not going to
justify this shit, Brian.
I will say
this right now. They're offering, like, if you buy 3 days, it's like $70 for a day.
Yeah. Okay, so.
But you have to buy 3 days.
Yeah, so I'll go one day. You go one day, and someone else goes the last day.
Well, what are you?
We'll look into that. Huh?
are you going to do like a single day? Or are you going to wait a year? Because I know plenty of people are just going like, look, it's going to be amazing, but I'm going to wait for like a couple of years.
I'm going to wait 20 years and then still never go.
I still know Disneyland pretty inside and out, nooks and crannies. I don't have to go run to Galaxy's Edge.
Well, I guess because that's part of the reason why, like, I haven't been in so long. Last couple of years, the only times I've been is for Mickey's Halloween party, and you're not doing that to do the rides. You're doing that to walk around in costume and stuff. So, I don't know. But given that I've been to the rest of the park, I used to have annual pass for a few years, and I know most of the park except for the new rides. So I don't feel too bad about spending a day pass just to make sure I hit everything in Galaxy's Edge. But that's kind of fucking insane to pay a whole day pass for one part of the park. So
I think it's crazy.
You know, it'll be crazy for
a
while.
But it's what you'll have time to do.
If we're lucky, maybe we get I don't know.
We'll see. Maybe it'll be Tollerville in a couple of years once it's not so crowded. But
I don't know.
It won't.
Give it a year.
Prices aren't going to go down, that's for sure.
No, they'll go up later this year.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Let's move on.
Keep climbing. Oh, sorry, that's me.
Gotta love that dead air.
What I love about it was Brian was like, I want to do these ones, and I'm going to switch the order because I want to talk about it specifically in this order.
Well, we have a couple of Star Trek stories here, but I specifically want to do it in this order just because it's like, okay, so we'll start with the bad news, I guess. It was actually...
Why do you have to bring us bad news?
Well, because then I can finish with the good news.
This is really, really bad.
It is.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So Star Trek 14. I don't like that people keep calling it Star Trek 4.
But because it's new canon.
Yeah. But it's also Star Trek 14.
It's number new.
It's an alternate universe.
Yeah, it's the fourth one in the alternate universe, therefore it's 4.
That's one of the brilliant things about Star Trek 11. It's a reboot in universe.
It's fine. Go ahead.
So Star Trek 14 has been shelved yet again. It seems that, well, basically this all came from a Deadline article about S.J. Clarkson, who I believe we talked about earlier this year. Had been announced to be directing the next Star Trek, and which was a pretty big deal considering that, you know, like, this is the first female director for Star Trek. But it was a big announcement without really any attachment of writers. And obviously over the last few months, we had a mixture of stories about how it doesn't seem like there's any traction happening.
Yeah,
on
there's
it.
No Chris.
They lost Chris Hemsworth and Chris Pine, which are the two biggest stars that they had lined up for
the best Chris's.
Well, I mean, Hemsworth was somebody I see like you could have easily lost because George Kirk died. They obviously would have had to do something to bring him back in some way. Mm-hmm. But Kirk, losing Kirk is a huge deal.
Yes.
And then the real nail in the coffin is losing their director. So basically, like, Deadline had a story about S.J. Clarkson about her producing one of the Game of Thrones prequel pilots, actually.
Ooh.
But snuck into that story was the announcement that
she's directing.
That because of her her earlier announcement for Star Trek is now officially shelved because of that. So which is, I mean, it's unfortunate, but I'm not too surprised because, you know.
She wants to do shit.
Well, it's also just Paramount. And that's, you know, as we talked about on Geek Pop before, that's basically what the word is why they lost Hemsworth and Pine, is because they're way too expensive of actors now for what Paramount is willing to spend. Paramount has always been trying to cut corners on cost for Star Trek because it doesn't make them blockbuster kind of money. You know, the only movie that
crap
was 09. Well, but
Star Trek movies are a crapshoot. I love Star Trek movies, but it's like, and you know, the every other rule doesn't always apply, but like, it was like, this movie's awesome. And the next movie, you're like, well.
Well, that was a little bit of the anomaly with J.J. Abrams' 09 Star Trek, because that, you know, despite being the most expensive Star Trek movie, even adjusted for inflation, it made so much money. It was a huge success, for especially with people who weren't particularly Star Trek fans.
So that, I think that's where this is just me, and look, I know you're in it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Right.
They biffed it in as far as, like, they had a chance, an opportunity to reintroduce everyone. Even if you didn't know Star Trek, come and watch a Star Trek movie. You don't have to know shit. And I think, like, it left a taste in most people's mouth. They're like, I didn't need to see Star Trek. Okay. Because the second one was just put that to bed. And the third one, I like the third one.
I love
but I'm like,
third
it
one.
Took too goddamn long to get to this.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's exactly it. I think what happened is that they really struck gold with what they did with 09 Star Trek. And you know, look, depending on who you talk to, people have varying opinions on it, especially over time, I think.
You're talking to me.
Sure, yeah.
You don't care for it, and I think Brian and I both like it.
I love it, but I definitely see a lot of the problems that a lot of particularly Star Trek fans who have with it, too. But nevertheless, at the time that it came out, it was very well critically and loved by critics and audiences. It did really well, and so it seemed like, look, this is... A lot of people were
really
thinking... Yeah, no, dude, Star Trek did so well that year, and especially critically. Like, some people were even... Like, I disagree with them, but some people felt like it got snubbed for a Best Picture nomination that year.
Dude.
Yeah, it was... I mean, lest we forget, in 2009, Star Trek exploded in a way that nobody had ever really seen before, and a lot of people thought, Paramount needs to keep this momentum up. And then they took 4 years to make Into Darkness, and Into Darkness...
Blue
I have
chunks.
A very big, very different remembrance of that. No one I talked to remember that I can remember reading was like, Star Trek is the shit. Now, I'm not.
Really?
I'm sure it made money because, again, it was that thing where even my wife was like, oh, that looks interesting. She doesn't give a fuck about Star Trek.
Like this, a message board I follow, we were just voting
Star Trek
our favorite
board?
Movie of each year. Star Trek 2009 was far ahead for the best movie, the most favorited movie.
I can't remember what else came out that year, but, you know, that was me.
Well, it's 2000.
I don't.
It was good movies.
We can check afterwards.
Sure, but in any case, I honestly think a lot of the momentum was killed by Into Darkness, because Into Darkness took 4 years to make, and it did. It performed pretty well, but so
did
a
it?
Lot of people. Well, I mean, a lot of people saw it and then were turned off by it, and it turned off especially their fan base. That movie they made for their fans, and it did not hit with the fans.
What fans?
Star Trek Into Darkness is full of Star Trek 2 references, full of like I am Khan. That is a fan moment, dude. The characters.
I think they thought it was,
Khan
but
is.
Jesus
yeah,
Christ.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
None of that felt like
they
it was
thought
for
it
me.
Was. They tried to make it to be they like especially.
Well, didn't they do the whole Kirk and Spock thing, but reversed? Where instead
of
Spock dying, it was Kirk,
and
then they touched it.
Yeah.
And it just
arguably
felt,
without having really earned it. You know?
Yeah, it
and
totally
yes.
felt unearned. And like we're well, this
they
is what we did in this one.
With Tribble.
Yeah, they had Tribbles and the blood.
Well, I think the worst thing they did is essentially like all the things they did to like because
it's not Khan,
Into Darkness.
It's Khan.
Into Darkness found a way to cure death,
yeah.
and apparently also as a quick little side thing, Khan can just beam from Earth to Kronos. So I guess nobody needs spaceships anymore.
What are you talking about? They did that in the first movie.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know how fucking pissed I was at that plot point?
Yeah, but I
onto a moving ship in warp.
The reason why I forgive it in the first movie is because this is something that, like, because they introduce it as a concept that, like, Spock Prime
only
is bringing from the future.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. But at least that's to another ship. You know, the fact that Khan, without really any reason for why they had to
he's
write
amazing.
It this way, in the second movie, he just goes from planet to planet.
Because he's amazing.
He's Khan. And he's got blood that cures death.
He can't do whatever he wants.
So anyway, Star Trek 4.
In any case, yeah. So Into Darkness is a lot of what I blame for, at least me personally, for the moment loss. Because Beyond, people loved, but nobody fucking saw.
No, I know.
I was just talking yesterday with some big Trekkie fans of mine, and we were shitting on Into Darkness, and I realized neither of them had seen Beyond. So that's a lot of it. Like, so even Beyond, which was...
I didn't see it until it came on Prime. I do blame the first one. A lot of the first ones falls on the cadets in that movie. Like, they were just unbelievable.
They were the worst, I know.
Like, there's
so
one part. There's one part where, like, right?
Did you see the one where
the
he
one's
was
like,
ruined
yeah.
the shot?
I'm like, why would
and
a kid
he was
that
do literally
that?
The only one yang.
Fucking moron.
Everyone
know,
else was politely clapping and sitting in place.
They need to kick his ass out of fucking Starfleet.
I bet he flunked.
Anyway, what's the other? Star Trek movie?
So at least there's that. The movie seemed to be shelved. There seems to be no immediate future for the Kelvin timeline. Which, look, maybe that's for the better. You know, there aren't as many Star Trek fans who are on board with that. But there are a lot of Star Trek fans who are excited about what CBS is doing with their TV show fronts. Most notably, Picard, for the Picard series, which they did announce in the before that it was going to be in the Prime universe.
Yeah.
Well, Alex Kurtzman, he has an interview with the Hollywood Reporter. It's actually a really great read if you. In it, he goes into a lot more detail about kind of where Picard is at, and telling us not to expect that Picard will be this. You know, because I think a lot of people expected when they heard this is going to be older Picard, he's going to be an ambassador, similar to how Spock became an ambassador for Romulus and everything.
Well, he was Just so people, this is how geeky we are. In the official movie tie-in comic, Picard was an ambassador for Romulus. Him and Counselor Troy were,
that's right.
Ambassadors to Romulus.
Yeah, so it seemed kind of, I think a lot of people just expected that Picard would be doing something similar. He would still be in Starfleet. He would still be doing some ambassador work. He would still be doing something like that. But what's interesting about what Kurtzman talked about is that not only will this be a very different Picard than what we've seen before, but he's dealing specifically with the destruction of Romulus.
Right.
Which I had to sit back and think about this for a second, because it's like...
First Star Trek movie.
Yeah. So J.J. Abrams' 09 Star Trek movie, famously did the in-universe reboot that Spock Prime, traveled through a singularity and he and Nero both came into the past. And that's what created the alternate timeline of Star Trek.
That's what we're following. But prior to that,
he
came to the past because Romulus was destroyed.
Yeah, and I really like that they're honoring that. So
it's interesting.
I will
give it that.
Exactly. So even if there are fans who don't want to see how the Kelvin timeline continues, I like that they're acknowledging. So if you guys don't remember, in 09 Star Trek, Spock Prime, what's his name? Nero blames Spock Prime for not stopping the destruction of Romulus.
Yes.
And it's from the black hole of Romulus's star that Spock and Nero come back in time. So in the Prime universe, they had already established that Romulus is doomed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that actually would have huge implications for Picard's life as an empath. He has such an complicated history with the Romulan Empire. He was always striving to try to broker peace between the Romulan
Plus
Empire and
that,
the Federation.
He's just trying to tell us fools. There's only four lights.
Sure, exactly. There are four lights.
Four lights.
But famously, some of their biggest skirmishes are directly involved with Romulus. The Romulans were the ones who made his clone, Nemesis, and.
Well, they didn't. Did they? Oh, they did make it.
They did.
Discarded,
yeah.
they made
Tom
Hardy. On the planet. That's right.
Yeah. But So Picard has a very, deeply storied history with Romulus, and this is going to be a much older Picard following Romulus's destruction. So they don't go that far into detail on how much this changes Picard, but Kurtzman did say this is not the Picard you remember. And what's interesting about this interview with Hollywood Reporter, he goes in depth with how that was a big part of wooing Picard. Patrick Stewart back. He's
Picard.
Quite frankly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Patrick Stewart back into the role, because he's, obviously they wouldn't want to do this without Patrick Stewart. And reportedly when Kurtzman was first optioning this, they were kind of under the belief that Stewart was not
Patrick Stewart
particularly interested in coming back.
Why would he be?
But, he reached out to Stewart's agent. Stewart's agent said, I'll be interested. I'll have a meeting with you guys. And Kurtzman put out this idea of, like, this is going to be a very different Picard who's kind of broken from what's happened with the fallout of Romulus. So apparently Stewart had asked him, okay, you guys write me a three-page just outline of what you guys want to do with it. And then and then we'll talk. Mm-hmm. So he wrote something like 34 pages. And they had this.
What a dick.
But I mean, but it just goes.
He's on board. Like, no, yeah, this is some of the interesting stuff. And it does still leave room for our favorites to come back. Maybe Data's the captain and then Worf is.
Sure.
Know, so,
but it's cool just knowing Stewart was very involved into making sure you guys got to make sure. Yeah. You tell me how you want to handle his character.
It's not like he's doing much, though. Like, what was the show he was on? It was really funny, but, like, they canceled it.
Oh, was it Blunt?
That was
Blunt.
Fun.
He was funny. I always don't understand. I don't understand how Patrick Stewart is fucking hilarious.
He doesn't get
more comedy roles.
Dude, one of his best roles ever. Do you see his episode of Extras?
No.
Oh my god.
But that show had tons of like great cameos.
Absolutely. Patrick Stewart's. I won't ruin it for you.
I'm never going to see it. Just look online.
Patrick Stewart extras.
His voice work in even in American Dad was fucking. Some of the funniest things I think. You know, maybe you're not a fan of Seth MacFarlane, but he's funny there.
He's fantastic. We'll do that. I love that. What was it? That was that episode where. He's fishing with Sam, or Sam, oh, I forget the main character's name. Stan. And Stan's like, oh, man, I'm glad that we're out here fishing. It's the anniversary of a huge fight Francine and I got in. And Patrick Stewart's like, what did you guys fight over? Oh, I forgot our anniversary. And there's like a moment where like one of them wants to interrupt him, but like Patrick Stewart's like, no, just give him a second. Oh, God. Ah, there it is. It's like Patrick Stewart, he's definitely got, he's got comedy chops.
There's a lot of good episodes of American Dad, but too many. All right, we got to keep moving. Mm-hmm. We're already at our limits. Let's run through these. I don't know. Like, I was never a fan of Space Jam. Were you guys?
I liked it.
Oh, dude, I was huge into it.
Okay.
But I was, we were in junior high, right? I remember seeing it, our junior high school.
There's only so much I can shit on it, because I did rock the fuck out of that album. It was amazing.
It was.
That's where we get the now often mocked of, I believe I can fly.
And there's that main one? That's called Space Jam. Welcome to the Space Jam.
I think the main one is R. Kelly's I Believe I Can Fly.
But if you're feeling fine.
You know more of it than I do.
Overtime. Welcome to the Space Jam. Something. Space Jam.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. So we're
trying to forget R. Kelly.
Why do you bring up Space Jam?
They were going to make a sequel.
That's always what they're gonna do.
With Tony Hawk. No, it was fucking close. Like they were ready to do this, pull the trigger.
Aren't they doing one with LeBron James?
They are still planning to do another.
Yeah, that's still
LeBron
going.
James,
but what happened was they made another one with Brandon Fraser and it tanked.
Back in action. That was 2003.
Well,
that happened and
Space
they were
Jam specifically. It was just
But it was originally supposed to be a Space
but
Jam.
But at least as far as
the Space Jam sequel is called Skate Jam.
Yeah. So well,
with Tony Hawk.
So that's a separate, yeah.
Well, I guess like skating became a thing, a bigger thing. I don't know if it ever got bigger than basketball, but.
Well, I mean, no, but skating was, I guess if you just weren't, I don't know how to say this.
Well,
it was
skating
huge.
Skating was big, yeah.
Well, we should talk about that
massive
story, because that's the story, right? That,
in the
that
early,
Tony's, that
Tony
Hawk,
Hawk
came out with
they
this.
They came up to him, they were ready to pull the trigger, and he said they pulled out because Back in Action failed.
Yeah.
And, you know,
because it was
time,
supposed to follow Back in
Action. I believe
this
is in the early 2000s.
Yeah, that's when the film came out.
And
yeah,
this probably
was Back in Action, yeah.
When Hawk was at his biggest because his merchandising kicked in and his boards and his clothing line were everywhere.
Well,
sure.
He had his games too, didn't he?
The games were another thing. I mean, the first game came out in the 90s, though.
Dude,
like,
the games
that
were
was
fun.
Those were also amazing.
Yeah.
I think the second or third one came out in 2005 or fucking six, I don't remember, but mm-hmm. they were huge deals. Like that's why I say skating had a surge in the 80s when Tony Hawk was a kid, and you know the other ones, but this was the resurgence, I guess, where everyone like there's everyone has skate brands and skate clothes, and it was a huge thing. But well, that's why I say I don't know how to say this, like,
well, no, I
but
knew
it was
big,
really
but I
huge
just, I wasn't into it.
And you know what, I could totally see like Tony Hawk in a I love the name too, Skate Jam.
Was it going to be called Skate Jam?
I believe
Jam?
So. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's probably the unofficial name, but like they don't need anything more.
And
than
he
that
put out, he even like he put this out with a piece of artwork that they had done.
Was that real?
Well, it was like, well, it looked like an old animation cell that maybe they were just testing of. But it was what was
well,
curious
Tony,
about it is that Tony Hawk himself was animated.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It could have just been a concept that they were running through. Obviously, they didn't make the movie, but
unfortunately,
but according to him, they were planning to go full steam into it, presuming that Back in Action was going to be a big success like Space Jam was.
Yeah.
But Back in Action apparently made less than a third the money of Space Jam,
bombed.
And so that kind of shelved Looney Tunes for a while because that was the last Looney Tunes movie.
Yeah,
my kid has no idea what Looney Tunes.
Yeah, that's another thing. It's like the kids these
my
days don't know
does
Looney Tunes.
I'm like, what's up, Doc? She's like, And, you know, I get that blank stare. I'm like, oh, fuck this shit. No, hold on. Sit down.
Kids
and
these days.
I proceed for the next 20 minutes to show clips of Bugs, of Taz, you know, Daffy.
Kids these days need to hear Mel Blanc's voice again.
My parents are making sure my nephew gets a good Looney Tunes.
We'll see
where
that goes.
Upbringing.
Because I can tell you right now, the kid was like, why does this look like that? I'm like, what do you mean? It looks fine. Like, it looks fucking great. Yeah, it's a little, and I'm thinking, oh, shit, it's like 50 years old from her perspective.
She's not used to that kind of animation.
Yeah. No, it's not done anymore. Even the 2D animation that it is still done on computers. So it looks more like, After Effects cutouts moving around.
Yeah.
I guess I never really thought about that, but to a young kid's eyes now,
they look
in
looking at them, because I've watched a lot of fucking cartoons, dude. Looking at it now, like, they look old, man.
I mean, it just depends on what you're introduced to first.
Yeah. Not really. I introduced Harley to a lot of my cartoons from the 80s, and she still's like...
See, they might look that way, but I don't think that makes them any less viable, like, because I think a lot of those cartoons are timeless, and that's why it's a little disappointing to know that they aren't still doing the kind of reruns
I feel like
that
they are too,
used to.
But I don't think that the current generation is going to feel like that. I think they're going to feel like we feel about Betty Boop and
I think you need to
Popeye.
Jam it down their throats until they enjoy it.
Well, how do
impose my will on these fucking kids.
Let me ask you this, because obviously Looney Tunes predates us, so how did you guys see it? Because I would see it like reruns on Nickelodeon.
It was reruns.
VHS.
Mm-hmm. It was reruns on TV.
No, my parents recorded it off of TV for VHS for us.
Like, did I see it on TV too? Or
I
like?
Got yeah, Looney Tunes, a little bit of Heckle and Jekyll, Tom
Muppets.
And Jerry.
Yeah.
So those were the ass end of, like, you know, sometimes Scooby-Doo.
Sure.
Those were in syndication. Okay. And those were at the time were already like fucking, you know, 10, 20 years old.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a big part of it. That avenue of watching old reruns and stuff like that is just not as
anymore.
Open to kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a lot of how we
kids
saw
do
these
not
old
have
Looney Tunes.
An appreciation for cartoons like we did, because they can watch them all the time.
Sure. And the sad fact of the matter is, if they don't have an easy avenue to the reruns that we saw, and if they're not putting out new Looney Tunes content, then they're just not aware of it. So,
well, you know, they are putting out some new Looney Tunes.
They
content,
are. Yeah. Which is another thing I think like that. Was interesting
I think
to read
they're
because
redoing the old ones.
They are doing a new animated Looney Tunes version too. So they're coming out with a new Looney Tunes cartoon. They've got that. They've got Space Jam 2 apparently still on the back burner.
Coogler's into it.
Yeah, and then there was also that announced Coyote versus Acme movie, which they announced
that
a year ago. But I don't know if that'll.
That's
happen,
right, because I wanted it to be a legal drama again, and it won't be.
But I can totally see I don't know how you'd stretch it out to feature length, but I could totally see them doing like a Roadrunner, Coyote verse movie. You know.
I mean, you could definitely argue it only works best in 2-minute cartoons, but I think you could do an entire movie.
But that could be it could be very Chaplin-esque almost, because there's no dialogue in Roadrunner and
Coyote. I mean, in the old cartoons, but it's been established that Wile E he talks.
That's
as
true.
As long as he clocks out.
Yeah, he talks to Sam, right? Yeah. Sam, the sheepdog.
He's established that he talks like this, and he's not stupid. He's
Very
matter
posh.
Of fact, you could probably get fucking Patrick Stewart to do his voice. That sounds like he's going to. Let's move on. Last two things, Elisa.
Batwoman. She is getting her own pilot. I guess she did well on Elseworlds. So
look, Else is a fan of these shows. Is a fan of these shows.
Yeah. Jesus, don't do that.
No shit. As a fan of the, and I don't even watch Arrow anymore, but I love Flash, and I still watch Legends. This was the best crossover, the most comic booky crossover that they've done, like in their 3-4 years of doing this.
I'm right there with you. I saw it actually.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, because at this point I was like, there's no fucking way I'm catching up on the Arrowverse. So
there's no
I'm
need.
Just gonna watch the crossover.
Well, you can watch a couple episodes. They're all on Netflix.
Well, sure, but I'm like, I only made it like maybe 3 seasons into Arrow before I decided I was kind of done with that. And Flash, I actually quite enjoy, and Supergirl, I quite enjoy.
Flash,
but I fell behind. And
Flash runs into its campiness, which is what it needs to do, because the Flash character is kind of like,
absolutely.
He
dude,
can
the fucking Speed Force
fast.
And the.
Is
like,
the,
it's campy.
I always said, like, the Flash, like, people are like, oh, Superman's overpowered. I'm like, the Flash is overpowered.
He's gonna
time travel. He can do anything. Yeah. But anyway, I think that's part of the
which is
the
kind
charm
of amazing
of
that they still have a.
But
they're able
the
to
Elseworld tale was amazing. It was fucking good. There was one part where I was like, "Holy shit!" Where the Flash from the 90s was like, "Hey, John, I don't. How come you don't have your ring?"
John Leslie Shipp,
and everyone was so like, great. "Oh shit, he is a Green Lantern," because everyone is theorized that John Diggle from Arrow is a Green Lantern. It's like, because Diggle is not his name, or the thing
from
Stewart.
A different universe.
So they kind of fed us that. But anyway, awesome. It was a really good Batwoman. I wouldn't say she stole the show, but she was perfectly fine.
Good enough,
I wasn't.
She was good. Like, yeah. Kate Kane was, like, Batman's gone. She's filling in for her cousin.
Yeah, and I wasn't fine with it. Totally sold with the first couple of scenes of her introduction.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah,
but
yeah.
At the same time, yeah, and the, kind of with the wig, too. But on some level, I feel like, you know, I don't want to fully judge it on that because obviously they were using this Elseworlds thing as a jumping off point to introduce her.
Stuff, yeah.
And then
yeah.
if they do a series, which obviously now we know
it's
they're going
ordered.
To, they can also kind of streamline it a little bit better. But even then, like, her on, like, I love the way she interacted with the other characters, too.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't help but getting a little giddy too, like with that moment with Supergirl where she's like, mm-hmm. you know, we'd make a great team. She's like,
World's finest.
I'm like,
oh
hey!
My god, she was good, and even I thought she even shined a little bit more as Kate Kane. I really did, which was unusual because you're like, you always want to see the Flash or Green Arrow or you know whoever, but you know you don't ever want to see Barry Allen or fucking Oliver, but she worked as you know her alter ego.
Absolutely.
So I'm kind of excited to see this pilot. I hope it does well. Last little thing.
I wish it wasn't a little thing, though. But
summarize. Go.
Oh, shit. Well, Alien Isolation is finally getting its sequel, which we've been waiting for a long time. But unfortunately, it's going to be on the mobile device called Alien Blackout.
Maybe.
And from judging from what the video looks like, it looks like you're going to be fixed in one spot. You'll be able to look left, right, look at cameras. So it's basically Five Nights at Freddy's with aliens.
But it's still following Ripley's daughter, right?
Yes, it's going to be following
Amanda
Ripley.
Yeah.
And at first I was super, super pissed about this because I wanted to see the story progress.
Okay.
This doesn't feel like it's going to do that.
Well, I mean, it is technically.
It's not a direct sequel or it's sort of a spiritual sequel?
Well, they say it's a sequel. They didn't say it was
a
big thing or whatnot. But, there's a lot of people who are saying that they're still in works of making a PC version, a PC game still.
Okay.
And there's this
emphasis,
thank you, of this hashtag that they've been using called Read, Play, Watch. During the actual trailer of the game, they highlight play. And then recently, Alien's Twitter account, that's why I was saying earlier before the show that I want to make sure there was no updates on that, they said, "Dear Alien fans, there's still more to come very soon." And they used the hashtag ReadPlayWatch Amanda Ripley, but specifically on the watch part was all capitalized.
Hmm. Hmm.
So there is possibly something more with Amanda Ripley later on. We just don't know.
Oh,
people are
so
saying
it could be like a 1.5.
Yeah.
It could be the series that they've been talking about.
It could be.
Well, what about what we were just
about Amanda Ripley?
What about what we were just talking
got
about?
Read, play, watch, right? So if you play, that's the game.
Yeah.
If
the
you
read,
watch,
people
show
are saying the read was for the comics
that
they had already released before. So they're talking about that as the read.
Okay.
The play would be this Blackout game.
And then
the
watch could be a show.
Could be a show.
So that could be interesting considering that this is like, because remember last week we were just talking about that story about how they were going out on all their different alien official social media accounts.
This was the culmination of that, yeah.
Yeah, so it could be this multi-platform kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like this is just the first step of that, you know, because this is the first time Disney's taken over with this franchise.
I do know that I was totally anti, like, Amanda Ripley, because I was like, that is the daughter of Ripley.
Right.
Come on.
But,
I never played the game, but from what I read, I'm like, yeah, okay, this doesn't annoy me as bad as I thought it would.
Yeah.
Well, just looking at the concept of it, too, it sounds like it's very similar. It sounds like even if it is Amanda Ripley, it sounds like you're in Alien 1, like, because it sounds
pretty
like,
much, yeah.
Because you're basically just trapped on a ship with a xenomorph.
Yeah.
And you have to find some sort of way out. Or
I've always liked that there's a Ripley. I don't know if there's a, I can't remember the name of the comic book. There was a comic book that took place in the 50s where I think an alien or two got on Earth and they had to fight it. And like there was a doctor that was fighting it. And at the end, he calls the police or the army. He's like, I'd like to blow a report. It's Ripley. You know, Roger Ripley or something. And you find out, like, oh,
it's her dad.
Ripley's been fucked. Well, no, not her dad.
It's
like
her
great grandfather or something like that. But
the
fact that Ripley.
Incredible longevity.
Ripley is fighting, been, you know, destined with aliens forever is kind of a fun little thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's
as
a Ripley
someone
curse.
Who has enjoyed the game, I'm disappointed that this is going to be the sequel game, technically. But who knows what that watch will be. Maybe it means watch the next trailer for the actual PC game. Because, like I said, like there is talks saying that there is a PC game.
Well, they keep saying that there's a series, too. So.
Good Lord, if it's a series.
It could have a sequel game, and this could be like the 1.5 of it. I mean, you know, Kingdom Hearts, there's like so many different parts to it.
I forgot this coming out this one, too. I have to go home and play this alien game. I keep getting stuck on Injustice. All right. That's all the time we have. Took more time than we were supposed to.
Always.
Okay. Not always. We're
always.
Usually pretty good at time.
Every other day.
Every other week. Anyway, that was Geek Puff this week. I'm Vic Chris.
Lisa.
Brian.
And Wicked.
And your geek has just been popped.